So this is Chat with Healthy Talk Show.
Yep.
And we're here with Liz.
Hello.
And of course it's Marissa and
Robert.
Your host of Healthy Talk Show. So Liz, introduce yourself. Tell us about yourself and what your current position is.
Cool. So I'm Liz. I'm right now I'm a software developer, but I had I went through a kind of untraditional pathway to get here. Like I have a degree in biology and then decided, hey, this was fun to get this degree, but I don't know what I want to do with it. I went through I tried out different things and then ended up deciding, this isn't for me. What do I do now? And then kind of I went back to, okay.
Wait, yeah, start with your journey. So how did you get into science and STEM first of all? Like where did that first start?
So I got into science as a kid. I did every single science fair that elementary school had.
Did you do programming as a kid or was that later?
I actually started programming in high school.
Oh, wow.
I knew nothing about programming, but in high school, at my school, every person was required to take at least 1 year of programming.
Oh, that's
cool. Computer
science,
yeah. And so I went in okay, I'm just going to do it because I have to. But then halfway through the year, my computer science teacher was like, hey, you're kind of good at this. And I was like, I'm struggling, but okay, thanks. But then he encouraged me to join the computer science club.
Oh,
and
nice.
And that's actually where I started to realize what you can do with programming and how much fun it can be. It was still super hard, but I was I started having fun with it instead of just this is my assignment. I have to do this because I want to graduate from this high school to going to competitions. And the first few competitions, I was just I feel like I'm way out of my league, but I'm at least with a team of people who are in a similar situation. We're all struggling, but at the end of the day, we're just man, look at all the things we accomplished. And then we would see talk to the seniors who had been doing this for 4 years at least, and then see what they did. And we're just dude, maybe we can be them someday. And then getting through all of the questions, and having all these so many more points than we did. And so I ended up just sticking with it and did some programming throughout high school.
What language?
Java. Mainly Java.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny, though. Now I don't do as much Java, but it's still my first programming language. So I have a special place in my heart for Java, even though I'm glad that I no longer program in it in my day to day.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So then how'd you go from that to biology? Cause you mentioned.
So this biology kind of goes back to when I was a kid. I grew up thinking that I wanted to become a doctor. I was
so
that
many
kid.
People do.
I wanted to be a surgeon. I was that kid who whenever their stuffed animals were needed to go to the hospital. I had my own hospital and I would fake fixing them, but it would usually be tape because
nice.
My mom didn't trust me with needles. Yeah,
that's great.
And and then as I grew up, I just I never really let go of oh yeah, I want to be a doctor when I grow up. And so when it came to like going through high school and then going to college, I was like, okay, what do I get a, like, what do I major in? Like, I can continue this biology thing that I wanted to do my whole life and then become a doctor, or I can try this new thing. But I think part of the reason why I ended up going with biology was because, like, my whole family is in the medical field. And so I was just like, I can see, like, oh, okay, if you do, like, if you go to medicine, this is what you can become. Whereas the only person that I knew who, like, did programming was my computer science teacher. And, like, I was just like, okay, like, I could do this, but, like, I don't know if I want to become a teacher, and then I don't know what I'm going to do with this once I, like, get my degree.
That's true. Yeah. That's hard. Like, so many kids have that problem because they feel that pressure to be a doctor. Or...
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about the stereotypical careers, too, people always say, oh, yeah, doctors, lawyers, what else? Are you? Like, those are the only options for kids. Doctor, lawyer, teacher.
From, like, I mean, even in my family, it was like, okay, you can either become a doctor or a lawyer. What's it? And I was like, I'm not becoming a lawyer. I do not like public speaking. And, like, I can't do that. So then doctor was my obvious option.
Yeah, no other options.
Yeah.
Default to doctor.
All right, so then what happened in that journey?
I went through college, and then I was like, okay, yeah, I'm really enjoying all these biology classes. And then I still had this programming itch, though. So, like, I would take at least one computer science related class every, like, if not every term, like, every other term.
Nice.
So it was just like, I could not get away from it.
You couldn't resist.
Yeah.
That, like, is so funny.
Yeah, like, hindsight, I'm just like, oh, maybe I should have, like, listened to myself.
This like, is why we're doing a podcast with you, though, because this is exactly what you needed, like, more exposure.
Yeah, and then, like, so I, like, went through college, was like, okay, I'm going to apply to medical school. And, like, along the way, I would also take, like, I would shadow doctors during the summer. Like, I was really into this, like, I'm going to become a doctor. But then when I was trying to fill out my med school application, I got to the essay of, why do you want to become a doctor? And, like, writing out, like, this was my childhood dream. And I was just like, wait, is that it? Is that all? Like, I want to help people. But when I was shadowing doctors, I also saw how much of, like, bureaucracy there is, and, like, how much political stuff you have to deal with. Oh, man. Just, like,
not there too. It's everywhere.
Yeah. And so it was just like, man, do I want to become a doctor enough to deal with all of the political stuff that I need to deal with? Because like some of the doctors I shadowed, they were not shy about talking about how, like, just like, we don't have enough money to get everything that we need to, like, so most of these things were in LA, and they were, like, pretty good, like, so they had everything they needed for, like, basic stuff, but, like, it was just, like, we could help, like, people so much faster if we had this new thing, just, like, we can't get it, but we would be, like, it's so much more precise, like, we could get through tests faster and stuff like that. And it was just like a struggle. Like, I don't know if I can really, like I wanted to be a doctor to help people, but if I'm, like, there and knowing I can't get every, like, all the tools I need to help people, I feel like I would just get sad.
Yeah.
That'd be so frustrating.
The bureaucracy's getting in the way of you helping people. Yeah. That's very frustrating.
Bureaucracy kills everything.
Yeah. And so then I kind of just started investigating other things I can do. Like, I thought about becoming a pharmacist, but then I worked at a Walgreens for a year, where I was both in the store and the pharmacy, because that's just where I ended up. And I just couldn't do it. Like, they're just, like, for the most part, I enjoyed the people that I interacted with, but just, like, there were just some days where I can't interact with all of these people every day, especially if it's just, like, for some reason, there's, like, an insurance problem, and, like, everyone is having this insurance problem,
yeah.
And so then, like, who do you, like, when you can't get your prescription, like, you're like yelling at the pharmacist, and
that would not, like, that's not fun.
Like, yeah, I'm just like, I don't think I enjoy this enough to deal with like the like negative side. So I was just like,
well, but I have a question though. Wait, how did it work with the opioid stuff? Because I mean, cracking that would not be fun from a pharmacist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cutting that off, like, real quick.
Yeah.
I was at Walgreens where there was like a shift between like when they started cracking down on it, and then there are some people who are like, why do I have to do all of these things?
No.
I like didn't need to like go through all of these hoops to refill my prescription before. And like, so like I wasn't even the person there all the time. Like, sometimes I was just standing in the store watching these interactions, and I'm just like, I don't know how they can do this. Like,
oh man,
I don't think I can do this every day. Yeah. So after that, I started working at a pharmaceutical company.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And so what was kind of cool about this, company, they were a pretty small company, but they were trying to develop some computational aids to help make the pharmaceutical industry more efficient. So a lot more computer simulations, trying to test things on the computer rather than going straight to the lab first. So then this was kind of part of my turning point though, was because I joined for the biology lab and trying to like get my way to climb up the ladder there. But then I found myself getting more and more interested in what the computer science people were doing, like the programmers.
That is so beautiful though, how like fate started bringing you together almost.
Yep.
That is like crazy.
I definitely wasn't sure yet, but I was like starting to start to remember, like, oh yeah, I really enjoyed programming. I actually kind of stopped once I left college, because like once you're in the like the real world and you have to have a job, like it was just too difficult for me to keep up like a programming project on the side of like going to work and then like taking care of all the errands you have to do outside of work and stuff like that. And so this was when I started like actually pulling back out like those projects I worked on before, and like,
nice.
Oh, like this was pretty fun. And then I actually signed up for Coursera, and I was just like, what like small classes can I take on the side?
Oh, what's Coursera? I'm not too familiar with it actually.
Oh, so Coursera is a platform that has a lot of like online courses.
Are they free or?
So I haven't been on it for a while, but when I was there, there were a number of free courses. I think a lot of them are still free, but they have this, like if you want to get a certification, you have to like pay for it and then jump through hoops to make sure that they can validate that it's you taking it and not someone else.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Very good. Okay.
So yeah, I like, yeah, it's pretty cool though. Yeah. And so then I just like slowly started getting back into programming. And then I eventually just left my job at the pharmaceutical company because it just didn't seem like a right fit anymore. And in order for me to jump into the computer science there, they needed like a lot more experience. Just because they're a small company, they didn't really have much space for training. So I actually went through a boot camp after that. And so at the boot camp, technically it's a 2-year program, but it's just the first 9 months where you kind of learn the basics. And then after that, you can start doing internships. And then the second year is if you end up with a job, you can keep working and not, and then you kind of like pass out of year two and then you're a graduate.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. Otherwise, they have these specializations where you can continue like specializing in a field that you're interested in, and then you can graduate from the course with like a certificate.
How hard was it? It sounds kind of intense.
So because I had some programming experience, I think I actually breezed through it easier than like it was still a bit of a struggle for me because there were still some things that I didn't know about, but compared to some of my peers, I could tell that they were like really struggling, and like I tried my best to help them out as much as I could, which is one of the things that I really valued about this program, because there were some things where I struggled with, but there were some of my peers who like just understood it. It just spoke to them. So there was a lot of collaboration
between
all of us. Yeah. And I enjoyed the program a lot.
How many people were in it? Were in your group?
So in my group, I think we started out with, I want to say we started out with 50, but then it dropped down to like 20 or 30 by the end.
Wow.
Dang.
Yeah.
Man, cutting it.
Wow.
Is there an entrance exam of any sort? Or?
Yeah, they're kind of. It's an open internet exam where like, so the whole interview process is online, and it's just to make sure that you can also like Google things efficiently. Well, not efficiently, but you know how to Google so that you can answer these questions that they don't actually expect you to know. Like they expect you to use the internet and the resources online to get through the online portion. And then if you get through that, there is an like on-site test where you like actually have to kind of prove that you went through the stuff, because like that I feel like a lot of the questions that I went like that were on the on-site were things that were in the reading that they suggested you like okay, in preparation for this on-site, like read through this, and then like we don't actually expect you to get through it all, but get as far as you can, and if you can answer these questions, like you'll probably be fine. And then also there was also like a design your own website. It doesn't have to be like super complicated, but they just want to make sure that you can like piece things together.
Nice.
Like they even encouraged us to like figure out how to inspect other websites to like add things to our own website. So it's basically like, can you take information off the internet and figure out how to use it? Which is basically what I feel like my job is now. Like, okay, there's this project I'm working on. I'm not really sure how to get this piece to fit with this piece. So let me Google it. Okay, so Google says that this should work. And sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And so when it doesn't, you just Google again.
Nice.
Yeah.
Try another term.
Yeah.
It'll come up. You'll get the result you want.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So how'd you transition from the school to, so you mentioned you have a job now, so that's good.
Yes. So actually, I feel like I was kind of one of the lucky ones who got a job like immediately after the first 9 months.
Oh, and that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. yeah, like, but so they're nowadays they have these positions called internships, not internships, apprenticeships, which are kind of like internships, but it's directed at people with non-traditional backgrounds. So it kind of brings back the idea of like a carpentry apprenticeship where you like work with the person that you want to become, basically.
And yeah, you work with the journeyman.
See, that makes more sense to me than our traditional college in a lot of ways.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah. Like, admittedly, I don't think there are as many of these as there should be, but I feel like once people start to see that this apprenticeship and, like, people from boot camps, like, or other non-traditional backgrounds, because I know some people who just completely self-studied. They didn't do, like, any school for computer science or anything like that. Like, we can learn, like, we're all pretty motivated to learn. And so even if we don't have the like bachelor's degree or whatever, there's so much information online nowadays that we can like just look at it, look things up, or like if you tell us good books, like I know a lot of us will read those books. and like even people with like bachelor's degrees, I know they're still like upgrading their knowledge by like just reading more books out there or like looking things up. So I think that once companies kind of realize that, okay, so you don't just need like this degree, it would be a lot better for people who go this non-traditional route.
I love that.
Yeah.
College is really expensive. So it's really cool to hear that there are people making it, doing it non-traditional ways. Even you went through this crazy path to get there.
I mean, I know a number of people who, like some people had their bachelor's degree. Some people in my cohort actually hadn't graduated yet. They were still in college, but then decided to drop out to do this.
Nice.
Because they're like, I don't want to restart, but like, if I want to get a degree in this, I would basically have to restart, add 2 more years.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about like a number of these boot camps is that you don't have to pay them until you like earn a job that's like where you make above a certain amount of money. And so then it's not like the traditional student loans. You can like just pay back if the boot camp was successful for you.
Yeah. Cool. Student loans, you can't escape.
Yeah.
No bankruptcy on those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if you get bankruptcy on your other loans, or you just don't pay if you don't get a job ever. Is that how it works? Like, sorry, I couldn't get a job. Thanks for the free schooling.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's kind of funny. Like, they actually started trying to make things such that, like, okay, if you don't have a job, you have to, like, prove that you're searching for a job.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So then it's just, like, gets a little bit harder. But theoretically, like, if you really can't get a job for, like, I don't remember how many number of years. I'm just going to say 5 for the sake of argument. Then, like, you don't ever have to pay back the school.
That's an interesting model. That's a very interesting model. That's pretty cool.
I kind of feel like colleges should implement
that. Yeah, it's more of a guarantee. You know, it's more of a, you give us... It's more of a guarantee that you'll get something with that piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's you should be able to.
That's really cool.
In theory.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. So let's shift more and kind of talk about what you do in your work more if we can. Because you mentioned you work with security.
Yes. So,
you know, us at Healthy Talk Show, we love talking about privacy and security. So, so what do you do? Tell us more.
So the company I work for is called Elevate Security. And what they do is basically try to improve the security behaviors of employees. Mm.
I feel like we've all heard these types of things. Is this where we get those mass emails that someone clicked on a bad link or something?
The employees are the biggest security risk for all companies, hands down. So, you can put the best shields up, but your employees are your biggest risk. They always are.
Yeah. I mean, like, my company really believes that, like, the employee is the biggest risk.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So, it's true.
So what we do is, like we have a phishing emulator where, like, we will, like if you purchase this, we'll actually, like, fish your employees for you and see, like, how they do.
Oh, that's embarrassing for those employees.
Yeah.
That's great.
We also have, like, a scoring and reporting system where, based off of these results and, like, other, security behaviors you want to check, like, we can also email the employees like a kind of like a report card. Like this is your security score. This is what you can do to do better.
Yeah.
Or like if the employee's doing well, it's like, good job. Like,
that's awesome.
If you want to know why you're doing a good job, here's some like links on like some of the behaviors that we tested on and like how you can improve them to keep up this like good work. So like what my company does is a lot of like trying to enforce good behaviors with employees, as well as educate them in case they like are unaware or just kind of like so that they can like link together. Oh, if I want to get a good score in this email, then I need to do these things.
That is so important.
Yeah.
I've worked for private corporations, governments, and they always get fished by the stupidest emails. They'll always get fished, and then all of a sudden you just see it go. It just goes across the board. Everyone, it's just address books start getting everything.
Oh, man.
I've seen it happen. And it's just from one and the emails are never, they're always, you can train somebody not to identify, but it's really hard. But you can teach them what to look for, but people just don't look. It's really, it's a hard habit. Yeah. And the phones don't make it easier. Phones do make it a little harder to teach people security, so that's quite a good service.
Yeah.
What security lapses do you guys tend to find, if you can say?
So, I don't really look at the data so much. I work on mostly the features that either the customer sees or, like, what happens behind the scenes. But, yeah, like, I think it just depends on the company. Like each company has their own like report card, and then like each employee has their own report card, and etc.
I'd be curious to see how people do, because you mentioned education, but people are never really taught good security practices.
Yeah, that's something that's missing across. It really is. That's quite a good business idea.
Yeah, like we're finding that a lot of people either they don't know or they do know, but they're not very motivated to actually practice it. Because it's just like, okay, so like, why is this important? Like, you're telling me not to click on this phishing email, but
don't open attachments. I've heard that, but why? But it doesn't matter.
What's the big deal? But we're hoping that, like, if they're not motivated by, like, if you do this, bad things will happen. Maybe, like, if you don't do this, you will get, like, this, like, the gold star you would get in elementary school for doing a good job. Like, something equivalent to that.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah.
Where do you think the disconnect is? Or
I think it really boils down to if, like, either people don't know or they're just not motivated enough to care. Like, I think those are the two, like, biggest things that happen.
Yeah.
Like, especially if, like, for example, another thing is, like, good password management. So then, like, if you, there's no, like, I'm, like, some people are just like, I have to actually put out effort to, like, make my password good, and then I have to remember it, and then just, like, it's too difficult. Why don't I just make my password?
Oh.
And then I can remember it easily, and, like, everything is good. So, yeah. So, like, just kind of giving people the motivation to do it, or, like, the tools to make their lives easier, like using a password manager. So then you only have to remember one password.
Yep.
And then it saves all your other passwords.
What password manager do you recommend?
So I use LastPass, but there are a few good ones out there. I don't remember them off the top of my head, but but yeah.
Very important. Password manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you want to make sure that it doesn't get, like, you don't, like, tell everyone what your password is. But it can help a lot with making sure you have a different password for, like, every website. Mm. And it's complicated enough that's a good password versus, like, using the same password or the same pattern for every website. Because even if you have, like, a technically good password, if a person knows you, they're going to know that, oh, this person does the website and then 123 as their password.
Oh, yeah.
So, man. Like, for Twitch, it would, like, their password is probably Twitch 123.
Oh, yeah.
So now I can hack into their account.
Yeah, that's people. Yeah, the hackers are going after behavior too. That's if they know enough about you, they can get you that way.
Dang, that's scary.
Yeah. I mean, like, I can't remember what it's called, but basically social hacking is a thing.
Social, like, hacking. I like that.
Social engineering.
Yeah.
Social engineering.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
What else does your company help with, or what other security no-nos do people do?
I think that's like the biggest one we do. I actually can't think of any other ones off the top of my head other than just, like, phishing, password.
Always the simple stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not simple, though. That's the problem. It's not simple. That's why it's working. That's why everyone's getting hacked left and right. That's why these phishing attacks work. It's because they're making money and they work. So it's not simple. It's not. It's really difficult.
You got to start your K-12 education next with your company. You heard it right here on Healthy Talk Show. You know, branding us. Get us in. I'm joking. Yeah. Maybe you already do that too.
That's the main thing we do right now. And then also just, like, providing a dashboard so that you could, like, look at the stats for, like, that the stats or the data that we have, and stuff like that.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. People love those stats, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. Do you have any more questions, Marissa?
I think that's the only last thing I want to ask is, how do you feel? Because, you know, you're a woman in STEM and you've kind of gone through this journey.
And a wide range of STEM, too.
Yeah,
which is
like biology to programming. So, yeah, if you could tell us a little bit from that perspective.
It's very interesting because, I feel like I've been kind of lucky in that I don't feel like I've had to face too much, like, discrimination.
That's good to hear.
Like, I mean, it's also possible that it was just stuff that I didn't see happen. Like, I feel like I guess part of me wonders if like my name was different on my resume, if it would have been easier to get more people to talk to me. But like I feel like I still got a fair number of people who are just like, hey, can we chat? And got enough like calls through that I mean, I have a job now.
Yeah.
And I feel like my company is like very active in trying to make sure that our diversity and inclusion behaviors, I guess, are good for everyone, because we want to be like in a inclusive workplace. And if we're inclusive, then like we can improve our diversity. I just feel like maybe I also just have a great support system that where like if I am facing issues, I know who I can talk to either vent or like get the problem fixed.
Who's your support system?
So like my biggest support is my fiance. He helped me so much through he's been the person who helped me through like the whole thing. And then I also have a few friends through him who like have been very supportive, like especially once they found out that I'm switching to like doing something similar to what they do.
Nice.
They're just like, oh, like I can help with that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So nice. Is that who you networked with too as well? Like, did that help, or did you do other networking?
I did some other networking through my boot camp. They were very good at having like people come in to talk to us. You just have to make sure you're proactive enough to like actually go to them. Excuse me. And then I've gone to a few programming conferences, met a lot of cool people there. And like, I don't know. I feel like maybe I've just met all of the cool people, because I feel like there are a lot of people who want to change the mostly male software engineer dynamic to like having a lot more females or non-binary or etc. Because the main place that I see like this discrimination is mainly on Twitter or like online.
It's always on the internet. That stuff gets exacerbated.
Or just various online forums or communication. Because, the only other place I can think of was one time someone was asking my team a question on Slack, and they could tell that I'm a girl or that I was junior or something. And they're just like, I don't believe your answer. So they just kept asking the same question until someone else answered the question. And I was just like, okay, whatever. I will probably not have to interact with you again. So, there are just very few instances like that. But most of the people I know in person are very pro, we should change the dynamic.
That's cool.
Yeah.
A lot of people say the people online are mean, but when they're in person, they're really nice. People also say that. So I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
But I just don't talk to people online.
That's really great to hear, though, because women, I think, are still not encouraged enough, especially in computer science, math, physics.
Yeah.
But you're obviously doing it, making it,
and rocking it.
Yeah.
For sure. I think one of the things that kind of helped me get into STEM was that as a kid I just saw these traditional boy toys as toys that I could play with too, even if I am a girl, like Legos. I was like it's it's kind of funny, but I'm like kind of helping my nieces understand that they can also go into tech by like most of the gifts I give them are like tech related or like awesome. here's this like programming kit that you could use.
Nice.
Awesome.
And like stuff like that. So I really think that starting early, not just for like girls, but also for boys, just like starting early for any kid can help them realize like how cool this is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I think that's it. If you want to connect with Liz, you can follow her on Twitter. We have it. How do you pronounce it?
Calamansi Mage.
All right.
Cool.
We'll have a link to it. And then where can you find our episodes?
It'll be at healthytalkshow.com/chat.
All right. That's thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you. Love and light.